time for The Shoe Shine, your definitive source for boxing and MMA gossip.
For the fans, by the fans.
Starring three guys with no business talking about the business of the sweet science. Repping the Bay Area each day from the 408. And the KGX cage fighter from Pennsylvania, the Crab Daddy. And featuring from the City of Seoul, Philly's Drew Evo. It's time for the main event. It's The Shoe Shine.
It's Monday night. It's another edition of The Shoe Shine, where fans from around the world, around the country, get together to talk about the sweet science. I'm your host, Dave, from the 408, on a very special Dia de los Muertos episode. It's, of course, it's Monday after Halloween weekend, one of the biggest boxing weekends that I've seen all of 2020. Here with me, as always, is my co-host from the battleground state, the city of Seoul, Philadelphia, Mr. Drew Evo. ¿Qué pasa?
¿Cómo estás, mi truck, Mike? I can't. If to your comment, I can't, bro.
Well, I don't know what's going on, but let me just let everybody know we are live. And if you're catching us and want to share, oh, please do share it on your Twitter timeline. We're live and you can call in at 702-710-3627. Of course, you were just commenting, Me Truck Mike. Shout out to my boy, Me Truck Mike. Congratulations to your Dodgers. And that's hard for me to say coming from a San Francisco Giants fan. But Drew, we are here to talk about the weekend of boxing, because all last month, you and me, you know, and everyone who could join us was talking about October was probably going to be the hottest month in boxing. Of course, we already had a fight of the year contender, two of them. And also we had, not even including Lomachenko versus Lopez, and what an amazing fight that was in October. And then it just culminated this weekend with four championship level fights. The biggest one, pay-per-view special. Davis, Gervonta Davis taking on Leo Santa Cruz, the four-division weight champion. And what a dramatic and sad ending of that fight. Before we get to that, the big news and gossip. Drew, what the is going on with Deontay Wilder? It's only getting crazier. Deontay Wilder, the former heavyweight champ. I know you're a Tyson Fury fan. What is going on?
You know what? This really pissed me the fuck off, because tell you the truth, man, and I think it should piss you off too, Dave, because you're an American boxing fan and everything. I think every American boxing fan should be pissed about it. But when you have a guy that loses, gets his ass whooped, and then goes on, like, you know, there's like excuses like, oh, my costume, I weighed like 45 pounds. I was really, my legs were fucked up and everything. Made my legs fucked up. And then your younger brother, I guess, says Fury had loaded gloves. And then out of nowhere, Tyson Fury signs a contract to fight this guy. In the third fight, they had a negotiation saying, yo, let's have the fight in November. No. Let's have the fight in December. Okay. Tyson Fury agreed, let's have the fight in December. So it was agreement. You know how you got a limited amount of time to sign a contract for a rematch. So out of nowhere, we waited possibly a couple months, and Deontay is MIA. He hasn't treated. He hasn't been on social media. He's been MIA for the last couple months until the other day.
Right, and I've got that video up right now. Until the other day, we see him. And so take it from there, man. So this video is something else. Of course, it's been circulating all over.
So this guy claims, if you look at his head, that this came from a legal object that was in Tyson Fury's glove.
All right. And for old school boxing fans, we know what happened for when Antonio Margarito, the Mexican champ, beat the crap out of Miguel Cotto. With not loaded hand wraps, but his hand wraps were plastered. And so it created almost a heavy object inside the glove. And we saw what damage that did. A lot of things have changed in the sport of boxing since that incident, right?
Yeah.
Like, for instance, you're allowed to send your trainers to watch the other guys wrap up. Not only are, how many commissioners you were telling me get to watch the hand wraps?
Now, there is one, and this is, I'm going to explain the whole process and how this was brought to me. Now, each person, each team is allowed to send one to two representatives. They can be your head trainer, your assistant trainer, or it can be both your assistant and head trainer to the opposing fighter's dressing room to watch him get his hands wrapped and to get the gloves, expected the gloves one last time, and to have the gloves, watch him get the gloves put on and everything.
All right, what about this shit where he's so mad at Breland, his former trainer that he fired? He's also accusing his own trainer of spiking the water with muscle relaxers.
That's flat. I'm gonna get to that in a minute because I really gotta say something about this dude.
Well, do it now because people are pissed on social
media.
What?
Breland, you know what?
Seems
I'm
to
gonna
be
say a- like this. It's a fucking. As an American boxing fan, we should feel embarrassed that we have a fighter that is of American descent. Instead of admitting his loss and admitting to learn from his loss and to get better, to get to beat this guy, all he does is come out with a fucking excuses. Like, first, my costume's 45 pounds, it hurt my fucking legs. Oh, he put his gloves, his fucking gloves on fucking tamper with. Oh, Kenny Bayless was unfair. Oh, my fucking, I had a disloyal fucking trainer and a guy, and then this. He's saying that his fucking own trainer that he's been with him for his entire career said he spiked his drink. Are you fucking kidding me, man? I hope that fucking dude sues him because that's what he deserves. And to tell you the truth right now, why can't Deontay just admit he got his ass whooped? He got exposed in the first Luis Ortiz fight. God forbid, if Luis Ortiz was 5 years younger, we wouldn't be talking about Tyson Fury kicking his ass. We'd be talking about Luis Ortiz kicking his ass. Because, tell you the truth, he would have kept on being able to box Deontay Wilder and then knock him out late. Deontay Wilder, you can't box for shit to save your fucking life. You only got a white hand. It's a one-hit wonder. Everybody knows that you just mad because it was a white boy that knocked you the fuck out.
I don't know about all this.
I don't mean to get racist. I'm not trying to be racist or anything, but I think this is how his ego is.
Interesting take. All right, now I just posted it on Twitter. I just want to remind everybody, if you want to call in and chime in on this Glovegate / it was a costume gate. There's no official name for this shit. Glovegate, whatever you want to call it. 702-710-3627. Now, it's interesting. I told you to throttle back on that because this weekend I was really, really upset about the Sombrero incident with Gervonta Davis. Of course, we're talking about his attire, wearing Mexican shorts and a Mexican mariachi sombrero. Drew, quick shout out to the guys over at Leave It in the Ring. David, D Styles Boxing on YouTube, man. I was able to get on their show last Thursday, the Roundtable. Go to D Style Boxing on YouTube. I love being a part of that. It's six of the hottest podcasters. I hope to have Drew on there filling in for me one of these weeks. But listen, out of all those predictions, I was extremely vague because I got a lot of shit being ambiguous about my prediction. All my predictions were correct, but I was very ambiguous about the Leo Santa Cruz fight because I basically said I would not predict who was going to win until Friday at the weigh-ins because we know Gervonta Davis has trouble making weight. He had no trouble making weight, but I did explicitly say that Leo had a very real chance of being knocked out. And if he was able to get past seven rounds, maybe he had a chance of waiting till Davis gassed out. Of course, it never made it there. Of course, it's because of Davis's explosive power. One of the knockouts of the year could be, still be. There's been some great. I mean, Povetkin had a fantastic knockout this year too. But listen, if you talk shit about me on Twitter, I'm gonna defend myself. First of all, I'm not a casual. I have amateur boxing experience. Been doing this a long time. I'm not an expert either. I'm not claiming to be an expert. I'm giving Davis his credit. But enough with the fucking sombrero bullshit. You know, Floyd pulled that off on the great pay-per-view with Oscar De La Hoya to get under his skin. But it also gets under the skin of a lot of Mexican and Mexican-American Latino fan bases. You want to be likable. I think Gervonta Davis has got some really likable qualities. He doesn't need to emulate Floyd or Roger, his uncle. By the way, Roger was the first person to troll the Mexican and Mexican-American community wearing sombreros, Roger Mayweather, Floyd's uncle. Let's rewind. I'm sorry about that. You want to get into the boxing? Because let's start. Let's just jump into Friday night.
Yes, please.
All right. Friday night it was. It started off with one of my we've talked about Jaime Munguia a lot from Tijuana. Of course, he's fighting on DAZN. His recent move up to 160, and whether or not, now he's fan friendly, but everybody knows he's had some brutal fights at 154 pounds. Drew, I talked to you a lot about this move up. Turiano Johnson was a dangerous guy because he's already fought Dervichenko, right? Dervichenko versus that pay-per-view the other day. Solid guy, solid opponent, up there in age. And in round one, I don't know if you saw round one, man, but it went pretty bad.
I saw the whole fight.
It didn't go too good for, it wasn't going well for him in the first round at all. He's got defense problems, right? But of course, now he's being trained by the great legendary Morales. And of course, everyone wants to know, has he made improvement to his game? I think Turiano was coming out to slug it out, give him his taste of some power and get this fight done with early. But this fight quickly turned in the mid rounds where I started to see some improvement in the kid's game. And at 160 pounds, I'm starting to think, okay, maybe he's definitely going to be maybe a contender. He's got great offense, Drew, but did you see any improvements to his defensive game?
The only thing that I saw that's improvement was before this, he had trouble fighting backing up. And I thought he did a lot better fighting backing up as the fight progressed.
But you still don't want to see him up against the corner like that.
No, you don't.
He's backed up against the ropes.
Thing. You know how they go close together and they're just pounding at each other? That, to me, that's not really, really healthy and yeah. Everything. Because not only you're scoring points, but he's scoring points too. And to tell you the truth, you're not getting any separation. And to separate yourself from the fight and everything, because from wherever you're scoring, he's scoring right back at you, and in a close, and they can make it a close fight, and you may lose a close fight because they might say, hey, he might have more wing generalship than you, or he might have thrown more punches or landed more punches than you. Like, doing that, I think Hyman needs to really, really think about not only becoming a better defensive boxer, but to be a more sound offensive puncher at later, because he's 35 and 0 now, and he's a former champion at 154. But the thing is, this kid's gonna go up and he's gonna eventually have to fight Golovkins, the Canelos, the Andres. If he fights Andre, I think Andre beats him easily. Mejia has a chance against Andre right now.
I don't think that boxer's that's not the kind of opponent he wants. Of course, styles make fights. But what I wanted to say, yeah. Go ahead, Drew. Go ahead before I interrupted you.
The fight before that, the co-main event, I had my eye on it. It was Alexis Rocha versus Rashad Ellis.
Oh, yeah,
both undefeated fighters. And the winner of this fight was eventually going to move on to potentially get in a title eliminator, but I thought both of these guys should be in a title eliminator because Rocha is a very sound puncher and had a really good chin, but Ellis was the more boxer, the slick, the hand speed. Ellis won that one by decision, and I think everybody needs to start watching out for these two young fighters right here because I think Ellis is a future world champion in the welterweight division with his hand speed and everything. Only thing I had a problem with him is when Rocha was cutting off the wing and everything, instead of trying to punch his way out, he tried to move instead of punch. But you have to punch your way out sometimes, and he needs to know when to punch his way out and when to move out of the way when he's getting the wing cut off from him, like he's in the corner or something else.
So you actually found that co-main entertaining. I don't mean to be mean, but I didn't find it entertaining. I was waiting for things to heat up. And of course, in this middle rounds, when he took over the fight, I'm talking about Jaime Munguia, I saw this is one of the nastiest cuts I've seen, not only just this year, but in general, the damage done from this legal punch to the guy's lip. Turiano Johnson sustained this horrific cut that literally split his lip in half. It happened so fast that the original camera angle didn't capture it. But when they saw it in review, it was clear, okay, the fight's going to end, and this is a TKO loss. Because I was worried they were going to go to the scorecards. Who knows how the scorecard actually looked? I didn't see it. But I think the correct decision was made. This fight ended on the basis of that horrific cut. Let's just fast forward this because we've spent enough time. And that's the brutal uppercut. Drew, uppercuts this weekend. There's that nasty face cut. Oh, man. That's disgusting. Sorry, everybody. Jaime Munguia, like you said, I don't like the idea of him fighting Bubu Andrade. That's not a good fight for him. David Lemieux would have been fantastic, but David Lemieux apparently can't make 160, and he was an in-house fighter with De La Hoya. I'm excited to see his progression, but he's definitely not, in my books, not ready for a 160-pound middleweight title fight. The phone line just went down. This shit really bothers me. If you guys want to say something, thank you. Share it, and we'll try to read the chat. I'm not sure why the phone line went down, but F it. So here we go. Let's go on to the next fight, because Usyk is one guy you're a big fan of. All right, you get all smiles about Usyk, but dude,
I watched this dude a couple years ago, and ever since first watched him on HBO, I was actually liking him more and more after I watched him every time. Like, Usyk reminds me, and guys, people are telling me this, he reminds me of a lot of Bernard Hopkins a little bit.
Really?
Making you fight his fight, and he can fight your fight.
Okay. So on Thursday on D-Styles on YouTube Boxing, I have brought up the proposition, are we looking at Usyk being the next incarnation of Evander Holyfield? Evander Holyfield was a unified cruiserweight champ, had all the belts, moved up to heavyweight. I'm not comparing Usyk to Evander Holyfield. I don't think the fighting style is the same. I'll be honest with you, my wife was a little bit disappointed that Usyk didn't get Chisora out of there. But Drew, Chisora, I know you've seen him fight a lot. This isn't an easy guy to take out of there. Just the size difference. He's a durable, wily veteran. He was gassed, but
almost got knocked out.
11-12, it's possible he got knocked out. So what do you say to people who may have been disappointed by Usyk not being able to close the show and using that, say he can't put out Chisora, he's not going to hurt Deontay Wilder. He's definitely not going to hurt Anthony Joshua.
For anybody that says Usyk can't hurt Deontay Wilder, you're smoking something, and I think I want to know what you're smoking, so I might pick that up if it makes me feel that makes me feel that good, but I don't want it to make me feel that dumb. But because I believe Usyk could knock out Deontay Wilder, I think Usyk could knock out Joshua with enough combinations. Because the thing is, if anybody looks at Chisora was a guy that ran after Usyk. He wanted to get him out of there in the first couple rounds, because if he didn't, he was not going to win the fight he fought.
So on that Thursday show where I made my prediction, I embellished the truth. Now, I predicted Usyk would win. I think almost everyone on that panel predicted it. But I thought Usyk would get why I was a little bit bitter was because I thought he was going to score a knockout in the later rounds, either 11 or 12. And that's why I'm salty about it, because I really, I wanted my prediction to be correct. And also, I kind of expected more from Usyk. I don't know if he has another gear. I'm hoping he develops another gear. But what do you think about his weight? Do you think he's packing on too much weight? Because he's still got the moves. The legs are there. They're just not as impressive as I was hoping to be as a heavyweight.
To your point right there about the Usyk getting him out of there, Tyson Fury didn't knock Chisora out in their first fight.
That's right. That's what I mean. He's a durable guy, a durable, wily veteran. So,
you know, but let's look at it like this. Usyk weighed 217 pounds in that fight. I'm gonna be real honest. Cruiserweights tend to weigh around that 215, 220 mark when they're going to heavyweight. Maybe you can have Usyk going down to close to 210, but no more than 215. But I thought the weight wasn't the problem from Usyk. Usyk always was generally a slow starter to find out what's he dealing with, what kind of fight he's going to deal with. Because it's just a lot of these Ukrainian fighters today, they're slow starters because they get told, find out, feel them out, find out what you're dealing with.
Oh, shoot. All right. Not sure what I just did, y'all, but let me call back my co-host because that was a complete accident. And we're talking to Drew, my boy Drew Evo. Every once in a while, this happens. We'll call Drew right now. All right, Drew, I apologize about that technical difficulty. Now, all right, Usyk wasn't able to get him out, but how do you grade his performance?
7 out of 10, because the thing is, he could have got him out there in the 11th and 12th. Kisora was ready to go, in my opinion. He had that look on his face after he took that nice right hook to Usyk, gave him that nice right hook, that he was ready to go.
Gassed out.
And Usyk, you know, he respected Chisora a lot, that, hey, I'm not going to go fall for a bad punch, get hit with a bad punch. I'm going to box him, get this decision. And I had it 116, 112. I thought Chisora did win the first couple of rounds. And then he probably win one of those mid rounds. Mm-hmm. I had it. But other than that, it was a good fight. It was an entertaining fight. And to me, Usyk did say today to Anthony Joshua, after you win this fight with Pulev, you fight me or vacate your WBO title, because technically he's now the WBO's mandatory. So he's either going to fight for four belts or he's fighting for a vacated belt.
And you know, that is like an incredible from going from cruiserweight in just two fights to be, like you said, he just put himself in position as a mandatory. That to me is unbelievable, because I'm not sold yet on Usyk being ready for that. Maybe he will be, like, in just another, maybe he just needs one more fight in my books. Like, could he beat King Kong Ortiz, who's kind of slow but huge still, just like a step up? I'd even like to see him fight Andy Ruiz before getting a title shot. But like you said, politics is politics. The sanctioning bodies do what they got to do. He's putting himself in position, so we'll see how that plays out, right?
Yeah, I have another name that I think it would be an excellent fight, and I think it would be an excellent fight. He fights Joseph Parker.
Yeah, okay. Another guy that also Andy Ruiz fed. Let's move on right there to Saturday. Finally, Saturday, Top Rank on ESPN+. Have you bought into the Inoue hype? He actually fought on DAZN last year against, from the Bay Area, one of my favorite all-time fighters from the Bay Area, Nonito Donaire. And in 2019, we talked about that fight being one of the fights of the year. Nonito Donaire, who had gone from being a 118 undisputed type champion all the way up to featherweight, and then in his mid-30s says, I'm coming back down to 118 to fight the monster, the undefeated guy, this guy who can do everything great. And he was the only guy I've ever seen hurt the monster, maybe even close to knocking him out. That was his greatest fight, one of his last fights. I probably would have retired. Nonito Donaire, I would have retired. I haven't seen him fight since, but that wasn't a bad fight to end your career on, almost beating the future of the sport and the lower weights, bantamweights and whatnot. But here we have this nice kid, Jason Maloney. I predicted that Jason Maloney wasn't on Inoue's level at all. And Drew, while you're checking your text messages, I want to just say this about Inoue, because people are saying, is he hype? Is he overhyped? No, he's not overhyped. He's probably not going to win too many more belts going up in weight. He's already gone up and conquered all these weight divisions. But what's special about Inoue, Drew? He hits like Canelo Alvarez hard. His shots are thumping hard. They're distinguishable. When you watch him fight, you could hear those punches land. He can counter. He can counter like you wouldn't believe. His feet work on Saturday night was like young Manny Pacquiao. The way he closes the distance, man. He just closes the distance, and before you know it, he's right there in you. So Maloney, as likable as he is at 118, like the Gervonta Davis fight by the sixth round, this goes into a brutal knockout. Let me get this brutal knockout going round five or six. Maloney became pretty predictable, and he got hurt in the round six. There was, I think, a previous knockdown. And then he got really lazy with the jab. And you'll see, Inoue, it's probably right here. That might be the first one. You see that lazy shot? And he countered in between that shot and landed first. A devastating, devastating knockout right there. So I think he's only not knocked out two or three guys. He goes on to be like 17-0. And this is going to segue into the next fight. But do you like what you see out of this Japanese fighter? Do you think now he's joined Top Rank? You think the way they're trying to sell him, he's going to be a big name here in the States?
The only way he's a big name in the States, if he fights a big name in his division. And I think if you match him up, I think one of the big names you match him up with probably is Gary Russell Jr.
But they're way far apart. Gary Russell Jr. is being talked about fighting Tank, and I don't see how Russell Jr. at 126. Remember, he's at 118, and you're absolutely right. The bantamweight division, it's not getting a lot of love right now. They talk about this guy, Casamayor. But you're right. Where are the big names at 118? Incidentally, Leo Santa Cruz won his first championship at 118 pounds at the StubHub Center in Los Angeles. And we're going to talk about, like I said, the transition, because a lot of people were so excited about this fight on Twitter on Saturday night between Davis and Santa Cruz, calling Leo fans casuals because they said, some of us were saying, Leo's the smaller guy. All right. Leo started his career at 118. He's ballooned all the way up to 130. Probably doesn't have he's not a natural fighter to be fighting at that weight. He's ballooned up. Davis walks around, I don't know, 160 pounds. They show Davis walking around when he's not fighting. He can really get up there and weight. That's what they mean by they're not the same size. Naturally, they're not naturally the same size. There's not much more room for Leo to go. And if he can't beat Davis at 130, let's get into that fight. Let's analyze that fight. I don't know how you scored it, how you had it scored going up until the sixth round. It was exciting. I mean, I know I had the Inoue fight was going on at the same time, and I couldn't decide what to watch.
I had a 3-2 Leo.
You had Leo doing well, right? Most people had Leo doing very well, very competitive. A lot of anxiety watching this fight. It had that electric atmosphere, and part of that electric atmosphere is that Texas is the first state to allow live audiences back. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing, how you feel about that. I don't want to politicize that. But there was actually like 12,000 people there in that stadium. So there was some electricity, unlike these other cards where they got to pipe in fake noise. Are you cool with that? With the only Texas is the only place doing live audiences that I know of right now.
Actually, we did 5,000 at the Link yesterday for the Eagles game.
Oh, yeah? Oh, yeah, that's right. Well, I'm just talking about in boxing in general. That's right. There are some football stadiums doing live audiences.
No, but Miami is a full stadium.
Wow. Of course, Florida. Yeah, they're pretty progressive on the coronavirus policies. But, of course, Las Vegas, no live audience. Well, I have nobody in the Bay Area, California, is watching live sports. Leo was doing all right, right? But at that whole week, you and I were talking about it, and I said I can't make up my mind about how I want to make a prediction, because Leo looked really slow in training camp. He did look strong, but I thought, up at 130 pounds, this isn't the same guy who's throwing 1,000 punches at 118, 122, and of course 1,000 punches that he threw against like Mahrez or Carl Frampton. On that show, D Styles' show, I said he doesn't have the power. He doesn't have the power to keep little Gervonta Davis. I don't want to call him little. He didn't have the power to keep Davis, who's a naturally stronger, elite-level power puncher. He can do it all. Davis is countering. Right around that round five or six where you could see maybe that pace. I think the pace was bothering Leo. I think the pace was bothering Leo, man. Or maybe the power shots. Davis has a fantastic body work that he does, and also that uppercut. And he kept landing that uppercut. Leo in the corner was a horrible decision. What do you think about that? Backing up against the ropes, against a bigger power puncher.
I tell you the truth, I thought Leo thought he could trade with him.
That's what it looked like, right? He really does think he could trade with him toe-to-toe. But you can see how much harder Trevante lands in his body shots. They actually start to look like they're hurting or bothering Leo eventually.
So, like, really, this right now, this is a sample. Like, maybe you dare to be great. It didn't work out for you. 130 is not the weight for you. And Leo's like in his 30s right now.
Yeah, and he's done a lot in the sport. I mentioned he's a four division weight champion. That's enough to put you in the Hall of Fame. But he is fighting with PBC, so his 130 pound people he could face are more limited than like they got great talent pool over at Top Rank with 130. They got Carl Frampton now. They have Jamel Herring. They got people like our friend Andy Vences from San Jose. Just a lot of talented people at 130. Shakur Stevenson. Shakur Stevenson's been all over Twitter today saying, "Hey, nobody want to fight me." Now, what does Gervonta do? He's got the belt at 130 pounds. He's got the belt at 135. Everybody wants to see him fight Teofimo.
Why not set it up?
I'm talking to you. Is he really going to hang on to this weak belt at 130 pounds? When I say it's weak, are they going to let him fight these other top fighters over at Top Rank? Or should he just move up to 135 where he holds a belt too?
I'm going to say... If we're going to see a fight with Gervonta Davis, and I think he should fight the winner of Garcia versus Campbell, or why not, if it's Shakur Stevenson and nobody wants to fight me, why not have these two fight each other?
I would love to see that, of course, because Shakur Stevenson is the young Olympic lion. He's the youngest lion up at 130 pounds. I saw something about Miguel Burchelt. Now, at 130 pounds, I don't think there's guys that have enough power to keep Davis and actually compete with him. But Miguel Burchelt can certainly dish it at 130, and he can certainly has a granite chin. That's a guy that possibly, I think, could give him trouble. And, of course, Shakur Stevenson. But immediately after this devastating win, of course you see Floyd there because that's his prodigy. Look at that vicious uppercut, man. And that's fantastic hand speed and boxing IQ, just like Inoue. Real special talent like
Inoue. It's like a flash of light.
Right, right. And in between the punch, because Leo became really predictable in that right hand, he was throwing, I think he tried to throw the same right hand three times in the corner.
It's like Lilo's life flash in front of his face when he took that punch.
Hey, a lot of people were scared. My wife thought he, you know.
Damn!
Yeah, it is definitely like knockout of the year contender.
I was like this. Damn!
But you know something? I think about Manny Pacquiao when Marquez finally got redemption, and everybody thought Manny Pacquiao died when he fell face forward. That happened in Vegas as well. People thought that's the end of Pacquiao's career, and yet
that made me say, "What the fuck?"
He's still Manny Pacquiao, still here, and he's still competitive, and he just beat fighting people, all these great welterweight champions.
He beat Keith Thurman.
He beat Keith Thurman legitimately, exactly.
He almost knocked him out.
Does this have to be the end for Leo? Love Leo.
I think you know what? Get the trilogy. Get the one more fight with Carl Frampton.
Absolutely.
Win the fight. Call it a day. Call it a day. Or like you say, Agro Mares might come out with time and get that fight in there.
Yo.
But you know what?
Those fights.
He already beat Agro Mares.
He did. But a trilogy would still sell, especially in the Los Angeles market. Oh my God, at the StubHub. That third fight would absolutely do well. But probably be more interested in the Carl Frampton number three. Now, originally, they were going to have that fight in Liverpool, or I'm sorry, I'm not sure where he's originally from, Ireland. That's where they were going to have the rematch, and they never did. But this is now where Leo's coming off a loss like that. For Leo to go into his backyard and sell out a huge stadium in Ireland or whatnot, that'd be a great way to end your career too, especially if he gets that win. Not very necessarily easy. Carl Frampton is in tip-top shape right now.
Well, Dave, the phone lines are down, right?
The phone lines are unfortunately down. If there's a comment...
Guys, I told you already, lines are down. Johnny, I told you already, lines are down.
Johnny trying to get on? I could add him.
I'm not going to get at him. I just told him in the comments already that the lines are down, bro.
And you know what, though? If he wants to chime in, I'll just let him talk for a quick second.
Yeah.
If he picks
up... No, he says somebody else is calling in.
Oh, really?
And I was telling him, yo, the line's down and...
What did I do? Okay, you're there, right?
There you go. Yeah, I'm here, man.
Yeah, so my software did some new stuff, and I'm trying to get accustomed to all these new features. I just tried to add them to the conversation. And well, eventually we'll be able to do that, add live viewers or live participants here.
I don't really know what is left for, maybe because, you know, Guy Wasso says something about his dad. You know, maybe a fight with Guy Wasso Jr. Like, it's less options for Leo, but for a dangerous knockout like this and like how old he is already, people are going to think this might be the end, but he got a couple options left that I think he should explore it before thinking about retiring.
You know, I think when I mentioned Nonito Donaire earlier, Nonito Donaire rebounded his career by coming down in weight.
Yep.
He absolutely did. Yo, Savage. Everybody just.
Let's go, bro.
Don't scream so much.
Joe Blaze in the call in. I told him to call in.
Now, the landline is down.
The phone lines are down, bro. I told you in the comments.
Oh, man. Chingao. Mexican style. I'll do the call in as Chico from East LA.
No, there's no. Hey, congratulations to your Dodgers, bro. So, your camera's not on, but you're here. So, let me just see if I can. Johnny, you still there?
I'm here, bro.
All right. All right. I'll put him here on. He's in the man cave. Let me give a shout out to Don A. Don A from the late night live stream on Friday nights. He does this comedy bit with a lot of people I enjoy. Johnny was on there on Friday, dude. Dude, I don't know what the F you were on that show. Do you kids, this guy's coming in talking about he was the Warriors movie. And then he had Jesus. And then he's doing this bit with the Chucky doll. Like he had a whole Halloween party by himself. That was hilarious. And I don't even know. I'm still tripping how Donnie got Andrew Dice Clay. But you were just saying, dude, I want to give a shout out to our friend Speech Impediment Man. Even though Speech Impediment Man, I don't know where he is. It's his birthday. Of course, he's a Howard Stern regular. Nope. Maybe he's having a date. That'd be nice. But, you know, one thing, Johnny, about Speech that's been tripping me out, dude, because tonight's the night before the big election, is how much people have said that Speech has gone all kind of crazy on us. Now, here's a picture of Speech. I'm covering Johnny. But I'm afraid of Speech here, dude. It looks like he's going to run me over with his big F-150, man. I don't know, dude. He's
He looks like one of those fucked up truck drivers.
Right now, I'm afraid because that's not the Speech I know. The Speech I know is the guy that wears the cape at the comedy clubs. But, you know, there's a lot of conservatives, I guess, in the comedy. And
I want to ask Johnny something. I meant to ask you this earlier. They were talking about Andrew Dice Clay. They're saying that he raged or something. He raged, quit, and left.
He was on Don A's show, right? You were sending us that clip. That was really.
Did he walk out?
Yeah, it was a phone call. Johnny, come on! Yeah. You're the one who sent me to me.
Yeah, right here. Yeah, what's up?
Yeah, well, you know,
I was asking. I was asking you that because I saw a thing on it. I guess you were promoting it, saying Andrew Dice Clay rage quit and left. What happened? Did he did something happen on the phone and he just hung up on you or something?
Yeah, that's what happened.
Yeah, I was on the show, but he hung. He called in. Don A talked to Dice Clay on Saturday. Okay. Called him, and Dice Clay, what the fuck? Like, why are you calling me? And kind of like, Don A was typing stuff, and then he hung up on him.
Tell Don A to give me Andrew Dice Clay's phone number, man. Yeah, that's a nice phone number.
I do a good Andrew Dice Clay impression.
Well, let's hear it then.
Do it.
Let's hear it.
Let me just tell you something. I had her on the. I had her bent over on the bed. And I was pounding the. Oh, oh, oh. Okay, that was it.
I got one. Bro, he needed the money. Oh.
Let me tell you something. I kept my smoke, my cigarette. I banged my bitch, and I was like, oh, oh.
All right. I don't think any of us are going to get a job impersonating Dice Clay, but you know, the show's almost wrapping up. I hear Johnny Savage is back to work. I'm excited that you're back to work. Of course, you work in the entertainment industry, and a lot of union people down in LA had some tough times. I'm glad you're back and that porno production is in full season.
Oh yeah, dude, it's full season. And you know what?
San Fernando Valley.
It's hard to get back to work, Dave, man, because, dude, I was off since March, dude, And I was living the life, going to live streams and trolling people on live streams. And
I know, it was tough.
Now I can't do this anymore, you know what I mean?
Okay, so you're happy to be back at work, but you're sad that you can't spend the entire day on YouTube.
Yeah,
and all people's live streams. Oh man, I'm gonna tell you who's had a rough time, dude. And this guy, let's end the show with this. This Dia de los Muertos. Yeah, man, with the Miller Lite. All right. If you didn't hear about it, Adrian Broner is one of Floyd's former proteges, right? Adrian Broner got arrested today for contempt. Let me get that video up. Contempt of court. So he had
the can man.
He had some kind of sexual assault claim, right? Right. He had a sexual assault claim that he made a settlement on. So he was alleged to have raped a woman, and he settled for some $800,000, a little over $800,000 that he was supposed to pay. And he told the judge today that all he has is $13 in his pocket. Now, after the judge went through his Instagram post where he's got thousands and thousands of dollars in cash and jewels, she said, "I've had enough of your bullshit." She locked him up. So Adrian Broner, there he is. AB, who fought everybody, four-time division champ tonight while we're all getting ready to watch the election. He's behind county. Damn. He's behind county bars. AB, back in the news. Back in the slammer, man. So, I don't know, man. What do you think about that, Drew? He broke or not? Or just effing with the judge?
You know, I think he wore those clothes the other day. Or the night before.
Well,
he was lying, dude. Contempt of court, dude. Like, you're lying to the judge. Like, you're saying you had no money. Like, dude, she fucking put you on blast. Like, you have money, dude. Like, really? On Instagram, like, why would you post money on Instagram? Come on, guys. Like, you guys don't have money. You were trying to hide that shit. Why would you put that out there that you have money? Come on,
needs
man.
Help.
Yeah, well, maybe he needs help. You know, Sergey Kovalev got accused of sexual assault, and he settled out of court, too, and he nearly landed in jail for the exact same thing. He says he doesn't have the money to pay the sexual assault settlement. So I'm not too sure what's going on with these guys. Adrian Broner, always in trouble with the law. Man, that's how it is. Well, Johnny, I don't know what to say, dude. Los Angeles wins the LA, the Dodgers win the World Series, the short season, and they win the short season or truncated season of basketball. So, I don't know. Where's your Dodgers jersey?
Well, it took it out, bro. It's in a washer, but hey, I'm going to tell you, I hate the Rams, but if the Rams win, can you imagine the Rams win too? I mean, they're not looking good, but I don't know, Chargers? I don't know. What do you think? You think there's a chance?
I'm all Chargers more upset about my team, the 49ers, and how busted up they are. But, you know, people who have followed me in the past, and Johnny, I've met Johnny in real life in Las Vegas. We were all there for, I don't know, when was the last time we were out there? Super Bowl? Back in the good old days? This week, and I'd love to show it, man, but Las Vegas has their first new casino downtown in over 40 years. It's called Circa. I've been going crazy watching all these live streams and YouTubers that are out down there showing the brand new casino. It's glitzy. It's glamorous. I'm excited there's a new casino, dude. But, you know, at the same time, I still haven't been out there. It's going to be real interesting if we're going to be out there for Super Bowl this year in January, Johnny. What do you think? A Super Bowl trip? I know you were there with speech.
Yeah, man. I have a new job. So, I mean, dude, like, I'm starting a whole new job. Oh, so,
that's
like,
right,
new company, new place, new production company. So, I don't know how I'm going to get that. But
no Vegas trips for you, man.
I was. Yeah, because I thought I wasn't going to get a job, right? But we had a plan. We booked a room at the. We love the New York, New York. That's our favorite, too. New York, New York. And, we had to cancel because I got this opportunity, so I had to let it go. Kind of sucks.
That's how it goes, man. So anyways, tomorrow the country will decide whether or not four more years or we turn the page, man. But it could be an entirely different vibe next Monday night on the Shoeshine. There's some big fights in November. Drew, I'm looking forward to seeing – I'm actually looking forward to Crawford – versus Kell Brook. Kell Brook was interviewed extensively on that ESPN show this Saturday. That's coming up in 2 weeks. And then first week of December, I got... What's that? Then we have Tyson. Mike Tyson's coming back.
Yes.
So I definitely want to have a show for that. And I'll have everybody come in and call in maybe their favorite Tyson memory or maybe their favorite Roy Jones memory. Maybe people got a fan, all boxing fans got a memory of him. But Johnny, I got you on the phone. Today is Dia de los Muertos. It's 24 hours for everybody who has a Mexican and Mexican-American descent, all my Latinx people out there. I didn't get a chance to say this on our show, Drew, but it was the Saturday night that we had the pay-per-view with the Charlo brothers just a few weeks ago, right? I lost my last grandmother. And what I wanted to say about my grandma is I got a text message from my mom. We had known that my grandmother was ill. And here I'm just going to put my grandma right here. My favorite grandma, dude. My mom's mother, of course. She was a resident green card holder in the United States, but she chose to live her last days in Mexico. She wanted to retire in Mexico with her family, of course, from Guanajuato. And, of course, you don't get the best health care. So this is for Grandma. It's Dia de los Muertos. Caminos de Guanajuato, Johnny Savage. So and a shout out to my grandma. I'm thinking about you. And Drew, that night that I lost, that I knew my grandmother died, I was watching that pay-per-view and boxing. Let me just say this. I'm going to cover you, Johnny, for a second.
Sorry, Johnny.
Boxing, to me, is escapism. It's an exercise of escapism, right? When I watch boxing, everything, all the shit that I deal with in my regular life, whether it's work, family, just real life shit, it goes out the window, right? And that's, I'm a boxing junkie because boxing, for me, is my form of escapism. I was only able to deal with losing my grandmother that Saturday night because I was watching boxing. And it helps get my mind off of things that go on in my real life. I didn't grieve until way after that. So here I am doing this memorial to my grandma today on the Shoeshine. What I'm trying to get at with boxing is that these pay-per-view specials, Leo Santa Cruz and Gervonta Davis escaped poverty. These guys had horrible upbringings, living life in poverty. And then they go and charge us $75. So while I was extremely happy to be watching boxing the night I found out my grandmother died, I was pissed as hell to pay $75 on my Comcast cable bill. And I was pissed that people had to pay $75 to watch Gervonta Davis and Leo Santa Cruz again. Hey, it's 2020, Johnny. Nobody buys CDs anymore, right?
Nope.
And the music industry adapted. It's 2020. Does Johnny Savage buy porno magazines anymore?
No, I don't, man. Get it all for free. I get life.
So let's get beyond that in 2021. Hey, let's get beyond that in 2021 and do away with pay-per-views. Because really, why are you doing that to the boxing fans? Why are we paying $75 for something that might end in six rounds? You feel what I'm saying? That shit is dated. It's old. Ain't nobody got a tape deck in their car anymore. Let's move on with the new shit, the new technology. Let's give boxing fans, let's give potential boxing fans something to be excited about. That's all I got to say, man. Drew, thank you for coming on my show. Yeah? Go ahead, Johnny.
Hey, I mean, if boxing wasn't had to pay for fights shouldn't have to be paid for. But I think boxing would be more popular than MMA because boxing charges everybody for any event of boxing. Doesn't even matter. It's like, come on, guys, really? You want to come up in boxing and beat MMA fighting? Why don't you have that set for free? I mean, people will watch. People will follow boxers around the world. Like, oh yeah, I like this boxer. Everybody can have their favorite boxer, and they don't give people a chance to have their favorite boxer because they're charging on pay per view. So that's what I say.
But there you have it, Drew, from what they call a casual fan. Thank you, Johnny, for putting that so well. Yeah, Johnny, a casual fan could become a hardcore fan. All right, guys, this has been the Shoeshine. Drew, any parting words for the week?
Well, this is the most meat truck Mike has ever commented about me in this show.
Oh, my God. Don't mind, Mike. I'll have Mike. And, if he was trolling in the chat, I don't know. He's just taking a break from trolling me, so...
And, you know, Deontay accidentally slipped during that video that he was dunking Anthony Joshua, too, by the way. Oh, I forgot to say that. My bad. You know, but I'm gonna say this real quick. You know, everybody has a form of entertainment or something that gets them to escape sometimes the harsh realities of their life. You know, you don't know what type of life somebody lives or something they could be like going through, barely trying to keep money, roof over the family's heads or something, going through like what you say what you were going through and everything, grieving. So at the end of the day, people that don't be ashamed of what you love to do and everything. It might not be what other people love and everything. They might get on you, but at the end of the day, it's true.
For real. Now, this whole thing with Deontay Wilder got me thinking. You know, I read today that Anthony Joshua, after losing in that big upset to Andy Ruiz Jr., that he went and sought a sports psychologist to help him not only grieve over his first loss and an embarrassing loss, but to get his mind right. And maybe Deontay should take a page from Anthony Joshua and seek a sports psychologist, because real champions get up. Real champions get up and get back on that horse, and they overcome adversity. So, I don't know. I feel like maybe he merits all the hate he's getting right now. But Deontay Wilder's provided me with some entertainment, so I'm willing to give Deontay Wilder definitely a second chance, right? Because that's what it's all about, man.
Well, at least Anthony Joshua said after the fight, you know, he had no excuses. It's Andy's night. He showed some class and respect.
He definitely did. He definitely did. And with that saying, all the things I had mentioned earlier about Gervonta Davis, full credit to Gervonta Davis, a very talented kid, unstoppable at 130, 135 pounds. It remains to be seen. There's Devin Haney, probably beat him. But, of course, Teofimo Lopez and this future star, Mexican-American Ryan Garcia. Lot of big matchups to make at 135 for Gervonta Davis. And Drew, I put this up earlier, the show we did with Crab Daddy. Whenever you talk about Gervonta Davis, the internet goes crazy. That show, we did a show about Gervonta Davis almost a year ago and has 1,200 views. So, Gervonta Davis, a real social media presence, just like Johnny Savage, because you can find him on everybody's podcasts.
Hey, Dave, you're looking good, bro.
Thank you, bro. I'm working out. Getting ready for this. Working out, bro.
Your shoulders are popping out.
Working on my body, as they say, right? Working, as you say, working on my body. All right, everybody. This has been the Shoe Shine. I appreciate everybody tuning in this week. We'll catch you next week. Don't forget to check out my boys at D-Styles Boxing on Thursday. And all those great guys who do boxing, thank you for having me on. Thank you for being here, Drew Evo. Drew, are you live streaming on Twitch?
Probably a little bit later. I gotta see how I'm feeling right now.
All right. It's Christmas season. Everybody's getting...
Hey, can I do something, Dave?
Yeah.
Hey, Drew, so have you watching Nick Foles playing for the Bears, the last game we played?
I actually watched that yesterday. I'm going to be honest with you. I can really think that some of the shit that coach is calling can be the cause of this shit. But tell you the truth, it ain't going to get any better with having Mitchell Trubisky in that game.
Yeah.
I don't get that right now when it comes to that shit. But I'm going to be honest with you. I think when it comes to our team, my team, the Eagles, it's a lot of shit. And I tweeted out what I thought and anything, and on in the Facebook group, and a lot of people actually agree with me. So I don't know. So
yo, I gotta say this: if I was somebody looking to start shit at a poll, you know, one where you go and vote, I definitely wouldn't do it in Philadelphia, because we know how Philadelphia Eagle fans, man. Raiders get some shit, but Philadelphia fans will F you up. This has been the Shoe Shine. I'm Dave from the 408.
I'm saying that with snowballs.
Exactly, man. This is my boy Drew Evo, Johnny Savage. Everyone, thanks for coming by and hanging out with us on Monday night. Share, retweet, hit the follow, and we'll see you guys next week.